Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to start out tonight with our preschoolers. They're going to be presenting their portion of the program, so we'll turn it over to them now.
Thank you.
this. Okay, good job, preschoolers. That is excellent. Looking forward to you guys and girls in the choir in a few years. Very good. At this time, we offer you the children and young people of our Sunday school and youth work presenting A Play in a Manger.
Hi, I'm Christine Glibb.
And I'm Biff Slick.
And welcome to Entertainment Tomorrow. Every year during the holidays, from the Radio City Music Hall to the Hollywood Bowl, the stars come out to bring us some of the glitziest entertainment of the year.
That's right, Christine. But tonight, our cameras are going to a surprising location in a little town that puts on a humble but special Christmas pageant.
It's a Christmas tradition, a play that's been produced without fail for the last 49 years. But this year, there's a fascinating twist. Here's our on-scene reporters, Stormy and Sky, with the story.
Sky back with you in Centerton, where for the last 49 years, this little town has been producing a beloved Christmas play. But tonight... and they are able to get Mr. DeVille here.
How'd they get Mr. DeVille?
Well, I can report that they were able to nab Mr. DeVille because, get this, he grew up in the town of Centerton, and as a boy, he himself acted in this very play. It appears you can go home again.
A journey back to his roots.
What a heartwarming story.
And apparently DeVille has big plans for this humble production.
Excuse me, are y'all part of the cast for the Christmas play?
Yes, ma'am.
Every year for the last 3 years. You look like you're very excited.
We are, but we've got to go. We can't be late. It's all about to begin.
With just minutes to go before the first rehearsal. Things are getting exciting at Centerton's soon-to-be historic 50th anniversary. I'm here with Taylor, Bailey, and Haley, three of Centerton's most beloved, promising young actors. How do you feel, Taylor?
I'm beside myself, Stormy.
Taylor, Taylor, Bailey, and Haley here are considered three of Centerton's most promising young actors in the future of theaters, Centerton's theater. I understand that Taylor has actually taken acting lessons.
Four.
And Bailey and Haley have just returned to Centerton from Hollywood. Were y'all on tour?
Yes, we took the Grey Line tour. We saw the Hollywood sign, handprints in concrete, and lots of stars' homes.
What a great vacation.
One day we want to go there as actresses.
You all really seem to love your Christmas play.
We do. It's Centerton's most important tradition. Our grandmother was the first angel, and she was an angel for over 20 years.
And our mother was an angel for 10 years, and we've been recreating the role for the last 3 years.
Certainly a cherished tradition. Oh, wait! I think I see him now! Yes, it's him! Cecil B. DeVille is arriving for the first production meeting. Let's watch.
Of course I need no introduction. I am Mayor Flume. And with me is Town Councilwoman Briggs.
And we are so excited to have brought to Centerton.
Thank you. We have tirelessly worked to make this Christmas the year before next year's election in Centerton.
For mayor and town council.
Yes. The greatest Christmas Centerton has ever seen, and
we
are proud to present
the great expense,
but not too much expense,
the greatest director,
not just a great director, but a beloved son of Centerton, the legendary, the one and only, Cecil B. DeVille.
I am humbled by your gracious welcome. Returning to the place of my birth has been a deeply moving experience. The Centerton annual Christmas play has always been a fond memory for me, and I hope to give back to my hometown by making the play bigger and better than ever. Are you ready to take Centerton's Christmas play to the next level?
Yes!
And we will. And it's time to do something incredible.
Incredible!
And we will. We will make our play bigger and better. We will make it spectacular!
Spectacular!
And a bigger and better play deserves a bigger and better title. Instead of a play in a manger, we will now call it The Marvelous Manger.
That does sound bigger.
And better.
Just clean them. Bring on the drama, the camels, the llamas. Just clean up the mess and I'll acquiesce. Heaven forbid, I don't work with kids. But with everything else, yes, let's overwhelm them. The more the merrier is far superior. I'm not trying to be clever. Bigger is better.
Bigger is better. orchestra this year.
Wow, who's conducting?
Well, it's usually Eric, but I haven't seen her around. Have you?
You know, she's still got a cast on her arm.
She does? Why?
She was marching in the band for the Thanksgiving Day parade, and she tripped. Poor thing, her instrument fell on her and broke her arm.
What instrument does she play?
Piano.
We are a week of hard work into what many are calling the spectacle in Centerton. And the excitement is high. Neither Mayor Flum nor Town Councilwoman Briggs have missed a rehearsal. This is a big deal in this town.
Have you heard?
Heard what?
Mr. DeVille has rewritten the play again. It's bigger and better than ever. It's going to be called...
The Marvelous Manger. Girls...
Us?
Yes, I've taken notice of y'all's dramatic skills. I need 2 new assistant directors.
Yes, sir.
First order of business, get me those new costumes I described.
What should I do with the old ones?
Oh, you won't be needing those anymore. Next order of business, I need 3 brown camels. I specifically ordered 3. They sent us 2 white ones and a tan one. I need 3 browns. Fix it.
Okay, but how?
Where's the prop master we're working with here? I want to see the manger we're working with.
The prop master? That's Ben. He's been our prop man for years.
Here's the manger.
That's not going to work. Haven't you heard my vision? Bigger is better.
But Mr. DeVille, this is where we've laid baby Jesus for the past 49 years. It's the centerpiece for the whole show.
Well, call Hollywood and get me some real prop builders. Hey, in fact, bring my whole Hollywood stage crew.
2-story manger, Hollywood stage crew.
Time to rehearse. Act 1, scene 1. Shepherds in the field watching their flocks by night. Action!
Did you hear that noise? Look up in the sky.
It's
angels.
Cut! I need to feel some energy here. Look. I'm just not believing you're so afraid. We need explosions. That's it. We need explosions. Give me my pyrotechnics experts from Hollywood right now. Right away.
I don't think there were explosions in the Bible.
Mr. DeVille was taking dramatic license. That's the way it works in the theater.
Well, if you ask me, the night Jesus was born was pretty dramatic. Shepherds in the field, an angel of the Lord appearing to them, then they're joined by the heavenly host proclaiming glory to God in the highest. The angels have been given the greatest message in all of history to deliver. The God who created the universe had come to the earth as a baby to save his creation.
Thank you.
Christine, with just 10 days to go before the performance activity in Sidgerton's 50th anniversary production of their Christmas play is at fever pitch. Oh, it's hard to keep track of everything that's going on. DeVille is a genius.
Mr. DeVille!
How may I be of assistance?
Well, it's actually we who may be of assistance to you.
How so?
This Civic Center, it's getting a little dingy and old.
And we're thinking your production deserves a more impressive stage.
Go on.
We're concerned with all the improvements you've been making to the Christmas program that you won't have enough seats for all the voters. Audience.
How would you like to stage your production in the Junior College Football Stadium? It can seat up to 20,000. It would take your masterpiece to the next level. Mr. Vince, good news.
The Hollywood Prop Master just finished a two-story major. It looks fabulous.
Tell him to tear it down. It won't be adequate. We'll need it even bigger for the new title of our play. The Civic Center just isn't going to be big enough for this monumental and immense play. In honor of the new venue, we will call it, instead of a plain manger, instead of a marvelous manger, it will now be called Manger Magnificence. A seasonal spectacular. Thank you. But we have no time to lose. Let's rehearse. Wise men, scene, and places, and action. Where are their camels?
They're being handed around, Mr. DeVille.
Well, I guess we'll have to skip the dance number. Hold on. Wise men, I've noticed you've never had many lines in the past. I think the audience needs to care about you as people. So try these out.
Okay. We have come from the east, following a star to bring you messages of our wisdom.
A penny saved is a penny earned.
Never run with scissors.
Cut! Perfect! That was amazing!
Seriously? You thought that was perfect?
You just have to see it with the dancing camels. It'll be a showstopper.
Mr. DeVille, I don't know where you got the dancing mangers and the words of wisdom. The Bible tells us the wise men came from the east to worship Jesus.
Well, I understand your little concerns. Wait, hold on. Okay, I understand your little concerns. I love the traditional story as much as anybody, but trust me, I know what it takes to capture an audience's attention these days. Remember, bigger is better.
Don't be discouraged, Taylor.
What's happening to our Christmas play, Ben? Don't they realize he's changing everything? I mean, a gigantic manger, dancing camels.
Well, Taylor, when Jesus was born, most people were expecting something different, maybe bigger. The promised Messiah came into this world as a little baby and was born in a tiny village. And instead of sitting on a throne, he was laid in a manger. Let's give Mr. DeVille some time. Maybe he'll see the light after all, and that light may lead him right back to the manger.
Across the desert.
with you with just 5 days to go until opening night. Things are getting exciting in Centerton's soon-to-be historic 50th anniversary. And Mr. DeVille is getting ready to rehearse one of the most famous lines in theater history, according to him.
Everybody, to their places.
Groundhog the little bird, do you copy? Roger, ready for the drop.
What's going on?
Oh, it's so exciting. The stars from America Can Sing signed on to be our angels. And Mr. DeVille came up with a brilliant idea. He's going to have them jump into the performance using tiny, hard-to-notice parachutes.
They'll be wearing wings so they look just like angels. The sound of 1,000 singing angels in the sky will be breathtaking.
What, you're telling me they're up there ready to jump?
Oh, no. This is a rehearsal. They're parachuting a sandbag down to see how long it takes to get to the ground
so we can get our timing right for the song.
Proceed.
Ready for the drop? It's out. I see it.
Is that how it's supposed to work?
We might want to use a larger parachute.
Or write a really short song.
Hey, aren't you the prop master I fired? Why are you here?
Oh yeah, I'm just here helping out, cleaning up and stuff. I think a lot about this play needs some cleaning up.
The plan was to know if we can do the second test drop now. I'll just tell him to bring the timpani back to the airport. We're going to parachute the orchestra in too.
Okay, everybody take 5 while we get this straightened out.
Mr. DeVille, I'm kind of concerned about the play. Maybe a Bible would help flesh out the actual story.
You may not know this, but I know the traditional story of the birth of Jesus like the back of my hand. But I've since learned that to be successful, plays need to be exciting, filled with lots of dramatic special effects.
With lots of stories that may be true, Mr. DeVille, but don't you think the story of Jesus' birth is exciting enough?
You can cut the excitement with a knife. Never before has Centerton, or any town like it, put so much into such a production. Cecil B. DeVille is about to make theater history.
Places, everybody.
It's so exciting to be backstage before our historic production.
It has been so gratifying to see what the three of us could accomplish together.
Pyrotechnics Wrangler.
Pyrotechnics
Branch, reporting for duty, Mr. DeVille.
Great to work with you again, Tyro. Are you backstage ready to go with all the explosives? Are you ready for the supernova of Bethlehem?
Supernova?
Yes, Mr. DeVille. I thought that a star just seemed too boring. But a supernova, an exploding star.
That you've got to be kidding me.
So all the explosives, ready to go, Pyro?
Yep, piles of them, just laying out in the open, lots of explosives with fuses on them, just waiting for a match.
Excellent.
All I have to do is light them up when you tell me to, Mr. DeVille.
Excellent.
Anybody have a flashlight? It's pretty dark backstage and my flashlight seems to have gone out.
No, but I've got this really shiny lighter.
Oh, perfect! Thanks, Mayor Flame! I mean, Flume. It does not work!
It works! You have to flick it just right and it makes a really big sparkly flame.
Okay!
I wonder what's going on. Proceed. People, we go on in 30 minutes. Get to your places.
Some kind of an explosion near the pyrotechnic center. How could this happen?
Just say something! Here's your ladder! By the way, it works!
The pilot of the Angel Drop plane. The camels have stampeded. The explosion spooked them. Then they knocked down the manger.
They ran off towards the edge of town. I didn't even know camels could run that fast.
A pipe burst and all the clothes got soaked. They shrunk. Look!
That's it. The play's ruined.
I'm so sorry, Mr. DeVille. We'll make sure to tell everyone that you tried your best.
There's only so much one man can do. Very sorry about your production.
Mr. DeVille, all hope is not lost. We still have the heart of the story. We may have lost all the special effects, but the heart of the story is what those people need to hear.
All the world.
we still have the right heart of the story. You may be right, Ben. Where's that Bible Taylor gave me? There still may be time to get this right. Ben, do you still have the most important prop piece?
Sure do, Mr. DeVille.
Did you get rid of those old costumes yet, Bailey?
Oh, no, I've been too busy with the plane.
That's fine. Just bring it backstage. All right, I got some quick writing to do, or maybe unwriting.
Biff and Christine, the show is just about to begin here in Centerton. In my exclusive interview with Mr. DeVille earlier this afternoon, he told me to expect some big surprises. And from what I know so far, I expect them to be bigger and better than we could even imagine. I'm sure right now Mr. DeVille is delivering one of his legendary inspirational speeches.
This is a disaster! We have no show, and has Mr. DeVille left town?
He probably departed to his own country another way.
I think everyone's in their places.
Mr. DeVille, you're still here?
Of course, we have a show to start. Everyone's in their places.
Waiting for a seasonal spectacular, I'm afraid, which is no longer going to be very spectacular.
I wouldn't be so sure about that, Councilwoman Briggs. The show may have gotten smaller, but something tells me it's gotten a lot better.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn.
Shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And there suddenly appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men."
Found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. Something amazing just happened in the town of Centerton. A very simple, uncomplicated, and clear story was told tonight. There were no explosions, no special effects, no mass choirs, and the only set piece was a simple manger, which held the baby Jesus. But this simple play in a manger was possibly the most powerful thing this reporter has seen. Mr. DeVille, how did you have this creative vision that knowing staging such a simple retelling of the birth of Jesus could be so powerful?
Well, Stormy, you might say it just kind of went boom, and there it was. But I have to admit, it wasn't my vision. My vision was so clouded with my self-important dreams of success that my version of the story, you would have missed the whole meaning of the story in the Bible. But thankfully, the author of this script brought us all down to earth.
Son of God coming down to save sinful people is the simple, beautiful story that we've been telling for 50 years.
Mr. DeVille, the crowd just keeps applauding.
Maybe you should come out and take a bow.
Maybe we should all go out and take a bow. At the manger, that is.
Hey, my hearing came back, and I'm pretty sure I hear the encore song starting. We better get out there.
Part of the story we know. Thank you. Thank you very, 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 very much. Thank you. That was beautiful. Wonderful. We appreciate that presentation. There are a number of folks on the back of the program who've been thanked. And we know that there are going to be some folks left out, but I do want to mention Stephen and Mary Batts and Greg and Lisa Whittemore, many others who have worked very hard to make this production come together tonight. I appreciate that story. It made me think about one verse as I read through the script earlier, a verse that we don't normally associate with Christmas, but I think in the way it was presented tonight, I think this verse ties in very well. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's the third verse. And Paul is writing to the church in Corinth back in the first century. And here's what he says, and just think about this in light of what we've heard tonight. He said, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know, tonight we saw Cecil B. DeVille doing his best to make it bigger and better, to make the story more exciting, more spectacular, so it would somehow be more entertaining and hopefully more impacting. But back in the first century, Paul said, you know, "I'm concerned about you. Because I know Satan is out there, and just like he went into the garden to deceive Eve, he wants to deceive you too by his craftiness." And as we come here together tonight in the 21st century, almost 2,000 years later, you know, Satan is still working to deceive. He's still crafty. He's still trying to turn our attention away, trying to deceive us into not looking at the simplicity that's in Christ. The word for simplicity there really kind of gives us that thought of simplifying. Sometimes we say, "I need to simplify my life. My life has got too much going on. I'm going in too many different directions. I need to simplify, to bring it down to a single focus." And that's really what Paul's desire was for the people in Corinth. That they would have a single focus, that they would simplify their lives and have a focus that was on the Lord Jesus. That doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the lights, that we can't enjoy having good meals. It doesn't mean that we can't get together and have a big family, big time. It doesn't mean that at all. But what's the focus? What's the focus of your Christmas, of your life? You know, the Lord Jesus came in a very simple way, didn't he? He came as a baby, born in a stable, laid in a manger by his no-name parents. You know, but he came for a purpose, and in that purpose, he had the greatest impact, not in the fact that he was only born and laid in a manger, but the fact that his life was perfect. He never sinned. By the way, none of us fit that category. We've all sinned. I can look at you and you can look at me and say, "Hey, there's somebody that sinned." Because the Bible said we've all sinned. We've all come short of God's glory. Some of us may have come farther short, but the point is we've all come short of God's expectation of perfection. None of us meet up to God's standard, but the Lord Jesus lived a life that did meet that standard. He lived the life of perfection, for he is God in flesh. And he came to this earth and lived that perfect life, but that birth was not enough to make us right with God. That life was not enough to bring forgiveness for our sins before God, who is perfectly holy and righteous, and that's why he came to die. As we heard tonight, he died on the cross. There he suffered for your sins and my sins. He gave his life for the sins of the whole world. And then he rose again. Power in resurrection, because his death was acceptable to God on your behalf and on my behalf, on behalf of all of the world, past, present, and future. But each of us must choose to receive that free gift of the Lord Jesus. In a few moments, the ushers are going to come down. They're going to take some very simple little brown paper bags with simple treats inside. Nothing flashy, nothing spectacular, but they're going to offer you that simple treat. And it's up to you whether you receive it. You might say, no, that's beneath me. I don't need some simple little treat. I don't need your freebies. I don't need that. You can act like that. Or you can forget about it and go out and not think about the fact that they're offering you a treat. Or you might very humbly say, thank you. And that's what we have to do with the gospel, with the offer of the Lord Jesus. We might say that's too simple. That someone died 2,000 years ago and somehow that's going to make me right before God? Sure. Doesn't sound like it makes sense, does it? No, we would want something bigger, something better, like something we would do, but God said no. It's that simple. So simple that a child can understand it and receive the Lord Jesus. But if we're not careful, Satan will deceive us in his craftiness away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Could that have happened to you? Could you be here tonight thinking that somehow you are going to be accepted by God, taken into heaven because you've been a good person? You've tried hard, you've sought to be religious and to give money to good organizations and to be a kind and helpful human being, a good citizen. And maybe you think God will allow you into heaven. The Bible says there's one way to heaven. It's through the Lord Jesus. It's very simple. But many times people miss it. They try to complicate it. They overlook it. They think it's beneath them. But many people will say, I believe that. I'm willing to trust the Lord Jesus who died for my sins and rose again, and I want Him to be my Savior. And I receive Him as my Savior. In a sense, we bow. We bow before God and accept that free gift. We'd love to talk with you more about that. There's no greater Christmas gift that's ever been offered than the Lord Jesus Himself and the salvation that comes through Him. No greater gift. Have you received that gift? Have you received that gift? We're going to close in prayer. While we pray, you can tell God that you know you're a sinner and you want to be saved. You believe that His Son died for your sins and rose again, and you want Him to be your Savior. He promises He will save you and He will change your life. That's the love of God. It's grace. It's not of works. It's nothing we do to earn His salvation. No, it's a free gift, and it's got to be that way. I encourage you to think about that tonight and ask the Lord to save you. We'd love to talk with you more about that. If you have questions or if you have done that even tonight, we'd love to know that. So let's pray, and then we're going to ask the ushers to come up, and they'll pass out the treat bags when we finish. And in my prayer, I'll give thanks for the food that we're going to have. It's up across the parking lot in the activities building. Everyone is invited to come up and enjoy the food and a good time of fellowship. Stay as long as you can, and we wish you a very Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You tonight for the Lord Jesus, for the simplicity that is in Him. Father, we confess that our minds go in a million different directions every day, and yet, Father, sometimes Satan uses that to deceive us, to take our minds away from what really matters, the Lord Jesus. Father, those of us who know You personally, we pray that we won't be deceived by Satan this Christmas into losing the focus of this season. And Father, any here tonight that have never received the Lord Jesus, maybe they came tonight to see a friend or a family member in this performance, and we thank You for bringing them here. Father, we pray that they'll think about these things and the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that they'll receive that gift tonight. Father, we thank You for the food You provided, these treats, those who put them together and provided them for us. We thank You for the food that's been provided over in the activities building. Thank You for the good time that we'll be able to share. Thank You for these young people and the work that they have done in presenting this special message to us tonight. And Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus most of all. Thank You for sending Him, Your Son, into this world that we might have the privilege, the opportunity of responding to the gospel message and say, yes, I want Your Son to be my Savior. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we commend ourselves now to You and give You thanks for the Christmas season. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. That's right.